Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
It's E4. Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 4 of E4 2018. It's our Nintendo press conference show.
And this is the happiest you will hear us for the next, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, be right. And then we're going to move on to other things in our life. I'm Tommy, of course, JV sitting over there. So Nintendo, like they've done for the past several years, did a Nintendo Direct live today, followed by some Nintendo Treehouse stuff. And we're going to talk about it for just a second because that's what we do. And
do we have to?
I know. It sucks.
It was really bad.
It wasn't our thing.
Really bad.
We did a little bit of Patreon content. Again, this is a great time of year to sign up for the Patreon if you don't already do that. GamingUncensored.com, Patreon right there at the top of the page.
Wow, that was super professional.
Did you
dude.
Like that?
You had that right. You had that working.
Right.
I like it.
So we did a video of just first impressions, and this is probably going to be just the exact same thing. Because it was basically, if like you're really psyched about Super Smash Brothers, you probably enjoyed this a lot. And if you're not super psyched about Super Smash Brothers, then it wasn't all that interesting.
Okay, so I'm going to make a lot of really bad jokes during the show at Nintendo's expense because that's all there is to do. But the people in the treehouse after the live seemed really psyched to be there.
Yes.
And I looked at you and I was like, dude, those people must be getting really good paychecks to go do that. Because, I mean, they were pumped about some Pokemon, man. They were into it.
And, I mean, the truth is people are really pumped about Pokemon.
I work with three guys that are way into it.
Right?
Like they go to, there was an event at the Discovery Center the other day. One of the guys goes on lunch. He's like, yeah, I'm going to the Discovery Center to do Pokemon stuff with other people. And I'm like, what? Like, I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we've said this many times. Pokemon has never been our thing. We don't really get it. But we know it's a big deal. Super Smash Brothers, I get a little bit more. I've enjoyed Super Smash Brothers in the past. I'm excited about the game. I'll play it. I won't play this Pokemon stuff just because it's not my thing. But Super Smash Brothers is something I dig. And so I'm excited about it on the Switch. I think it'll be a lot of fun, but there's stuff I care way more about that I didn't get any of. And so the fact that they spent, so we watched for maybe a better part of an hour and a half between the Nintendo Direct Live
we
and the Treehouse.
Watched.
Right. We did plenty of other stuff in there too. But half of that time, easy, was dedicated to Super Smash Brothers. They went through and talked about every change to every character, down to Wii Trainer has a different face. And they like showed side-by-side comparison of what her face used to look like and what her face looks like in this new Super Smash Brothers. And that's all well and good. It just, like, for people who are a fan of the franchise, the fact that they're doing this big of a deep dive on it and have put this much work into it says that they really care about this game and really care about the fans, and I think that's awesome. We're just not those people. Like, I'm not that big of a fan of this franchise to want to give that much space for this game. And so
we love Smash Brothers. I think it's great. We said multiple times watching the thing, that's going to be a lot of fun. And if we were in the same room, and we've talked a lot the last couple of days about the fact that that needs to happen more. Like, I need to find an apartment, a house, or something, and I need to be here more. And if that's the case, then Smash Brothers becomes a thing on a regular basis for us. Right now, it's not.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it, is a game like that I want to play against people I know. You know, like, that's what makes it fun. I love the original Super Smash Brothers because I just played it with my pals in college. You know, like, we played it a lot, but we played it all sitting in the same room where we could yell at each other and whatever.
Yeah.
Quick story, before the sexy sidekick and I got married, I had essentially my bachelor party at the the ranch that my in-laws own.
Right.
And it was a bunch of friends from college just before I knew you. So you weren't there.
Right.
But I didn't
Man,
know you yet.
I wish I'd have been. That would have been
it was a good time. And so a bunch of my pals, we went and just spent the weekend at the ranch. And we took a bunch of video games with us, whatever. Super Smash Brothers was one of those games that we had with us. We trash talked a lot, and I don't curse. I cursed when I was a lot younger.
Right.
Anybody that's listened to this, I always think it's funny. We're called Gaming Uncensored, and you've never heard me curse. I don't curse. I did when I was younger, and I broke that habit in college. I just never started cursing again. But I say stuff sucks, and I say pissed off or whatever, you know, like things I don't consider cursing, really, and most people don't. But
right.
My father-in-law is pretty strict about stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's an old-fashioned kind of guy.
Your father-in-law and my dad get along real well.
Yes. Very similar human beings. And so, like, we were playing Super Smash Brothers, and I was, like, we were just, like, having a good time. We're, like, 18, 19-year-old dudes, because I got married when I was 19. And I'd be like, man, you suck. What a whore. We use the word whore all the time. Back
yeah.
then, we called each other whores all the time. I'm like, what a whore, you suck, blah, blah, blah. And, like, my stepfather was appalled that, like,
Your
I talked this way. So my father-in-law was appalled that, like, I talked this way. And I'm like, it's not really that bad, man, you know?
Like, right.
Whatever. That was playing Super Smash Brothers in a room with other dudes calling each other whores. That was entertaining.
Probably a good thing I wasn't there, because he probably would have thought a whole lot less of me.
Yes. He still let me marry his daughter, and things
yeah.
have worked out well, so I guess it's fine. But yeah, but that's the experience I want with Super Smash Brothers. Playing online with other people, being super competitive, which is kind of the feel of like where they want to go. It's just not my thing. I'm not that interested in it. And so the like minutia of the detail they were going into about how the attacks have changed, how like this one's now faster, and this one does this, and this one does that. I'm kind of like, that's cool, but like, I'm never going to remember that playing the game. Like, I'm not
right.
going to remember, oh, like Link's attack is now this instead of that or whatever. And B, like, I'm not going to dedicate this much of my personal gaming bandwidth to that game for it to really be significant.
Yeah.
And so I get it, and I'm glad that the people who are hardcore fans of the game are going to have a really good experience. Being a casual fan of the game, this kind of went too deep for me.
I think you just came up with a trademarkable phrase there.
What was that?
Your personal gaming bandwidth.
That's like, pretty good, isn't it?
I've never heard that, but that's pretty good.
That's
going to be a show thing now. We're going to talk about our personal gaming bandwidth.
Which is very limited.
That is awesome.
So, briefly, we'll go kind of point by point through the conference like we do, but so much of it was Super Smash Brothers. This will be pretty brief. They started with a new game that's a mech game that's coming on Switch. It's called Daemon versus Machina, or Daemon X Machina, or something. I don't know what it is. I don't really dig mech games that much. Not for me.
I feel bad that you don't dig mech games, because I played Mech Warrior back in the day, and I played Mech Warrior in a long time, but I used to be really into it. And they are kind of fun, but it's got to be your thing.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be into it.
Yep.
And
a lot of guys that I grew up with were, and I just wasn't, just never got into it, just for whatever reason, just hasn't ever been my thing. And so Max just,
Yeah.
You know, and this is, it's Max, so cool, whatever. New content for Xenoblade Chronicles 2 coming, which is a little bit more my thing, but again, going back to my limited gaming bandwidth, I just haven't had the space for Xenoblades as part of my life. When I was younger, it's definitely something I would have played. I just don't have time for that kind of RPG at this point. And it bumps me out, because like, even watching the trailer during the Nintendo Live Direct, I went, man, my like high school self would have loved this game.
Well, and that's kind of how I feel about, we were talking about Nier on Steam.
Yep.
Yesterday, I still want to play that. But again, I do not have the personal gaming bandwidth to be able to afford Nier, because I've got Fallout 4, and I've got The Witcher 3, and I've got 8 zillion other games to play.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. We got more details about new Pokemon games coming, multiple games, and the new little Pokeball controller thing, which they demoed more of during the Treehouse Live after the Nintendo Direct. again, if you're into Pokemon, it's probably pretty cool. Like, we're not, and so I just don't get it. Like, they're showing how you, like, you could use this little Pokeball controller, and you, like, throw it, and it, like, changes colors depending on what Pokemon you capture. I don't know. Just don't get it. Just don't get it.
Right.
And so.
And I'm going to laugh out loud in about 10 years, because we got a little girl in there.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be way into it. In about 10 years, we're going to be sitting in a room together, because for crying out loud, we ain't going to be 6 hours away from each other for the rest of our lives. That ain't happening. We're going to be sitting in a room together, and that little girl's going to come bebopping in like, "Hey, Uncle Zay, I found out about Pokemon today." We're going, "Oh, crap."
Yep.
Now we have to learn.
Yep.
And it's going to be that way, I swear, because both of my nieces are into it.
And Pokemon's not going away.
It's not. So. And we're going to have to figure it out. So
one day.
For all the crap that we're talking right now, we're going to get sucked in like anybody else, and we're going to feel awful because we're going to mess around with it and go, "Dude, this is way awesome," and we're going to be into it more than she is, and it's going to freak her out.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yes.
But that's not where we are today. We're not there yet, but it's coming. They did announce a new game, a first-party big Nintendo title, been around for a long time, a new Mario Party, just simply called Super Mario Party, on the Switch, which looks really cool. The Switch seems like the perfect console for this, that you can do it on the go or obviously a docked and on your TV. Right. One of the really cool things they showed was, like, they had two Switches, and for one of the mini games, it was like this little tank mini game. Think of, like, combat from the Atari days, but with Mario and all that. But they took two Switches, the tablets, and, like, put them up next to each other, kind of in an L shape, and made the map, like, connect across these two Switch tablets in a certain configuration. And then, like, you're driving your tank from one to the other and able to shoot each other and all that kind of stuff. Which was kind of cool. It's kind of a unique way to use that console. Again, we're going to play with Labo later.
Right.
They've figured out all these different ways to make this console do things that you wouldn't ever think of a console doing, and that's super cool.
And that's what's crazy to me about this is the tech side of the Switch. They're coming up with things to do with the Switch that I never would have thought of.
Yep.
The Switch is going to be wildly successful. There's probably going to be another one or something. Like, they're on to something with this portable device thing that is also a full-fledged console. And the longer that we go and the smaller that chips get and power supplies get and all that jazz, like, I think this is going to be a thing for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't feel like, because of the way they're doing things with the Amiibos and all that, which we'll talk about that in a second, I don't think the portable console thing's going away.
No.
Like, when the Switch came out, I said, 2 years max and they'll do something else. I might have been wrong. Like, I may have to eat that.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to be that way for a while.
And the thing's successful so far. Yeah. They're obviously onto something. So, God bless them for that.
Yeah.
So, a couple other games before we get into Super Smash Brothers, which, again, was the majority of the time. A new Fire Emblem coming, which is cool. Another RPG. And Nintendo really has kind of a corner, at least in the console market, on that kind of classic RPG that we grew up with. Again, don't have the bandwidth for it now. I would love to, and watching this Fire Emblem thing, it was the same thing. I was like, man, that just seems so in my wheelhouse. It's kind of tactics-like gameplay.
Right.
It just looks really cool. It's coming next spring 2019. Fortnite, not our thing. It's officially on the Switch today. You can go get Fortnite right now if you're wanting to do some Battle Royale on your Switch. It's there for you. We're not going to, but...
No.
By all means, it's a big deal, and the Switch seems like as big as it is on cell phones, for crying out loud. The Switch is a better platform for it, where you actually have some analog sticks and buttons, and so
yep,
do it there. A couple of indie titles. Overcooked 2 is coming. Overcooked, the first one, is on the Switch. It's supposed to be super fun. We got a segment a while back about how fun it is, and that seems like something that's very much up my alley. I will be playing that one.
Yes, for sure.
And then Killer Queen Black is coming to Switch. Killer Queen is, as far as I know, an arcade title. This was, I went to an arcade a while back, the Cider Cade, I think I told you about, where they had cider on tap. That place closed.
Aww. It did.
Yeah, that's super sad, isn't it?
Dang.
I know, right? But they had this game there, this arcade game there, Killer Queen, that's like this big multiplayer thing that's like teams against each other. And I don't really fully understand it, but apparently it's this big kind of cultural thing. Now it's going to be on the Switch. Yeah. Seems cool, and I might try it some more and play around with it. And then Hollow Knight is officially coming to Switch as well, a platformer that's been around on PC for a little bit that's quite popular.
How do you think, there is a board or a group of people that is selecting these games for the Switch? Because all the ones that they're adding are absolute perfect fits. Like, I didn't even know they showed Hollow Knight. I didn't even know that was on Steam. I would probably rather play that on the Switch.
Yeah. It makes a ton of sense.
And they've got a ton of third-party games that are that way, and they're finding these games that are absolutely, totally geared for the Nintendo Switch. It's unbelievable. They're going to have a massive library before this thing is through.
Yes, they are. And of games that work really well on that console. You're absolutely right that the games that they're finding to go there for whatever reason, if it's the developers reaching out to Nintendo or Nintendo reaching out to developers or some of both, whatever it is, they're picking the games that exist already that make sense for that platform and can translate really well to it. One more of the kind of indie titles that I'm really looking forward to is called Octopath Traveler that we mentioned. It showed up in the Microsoft show too, I think.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of geared towards the Switch. Like, it feels like a game that's going to work really well on the Switch that you can easily play at portable or docked mode. That's going to be fun either way. That's kind of this old school sprite based RPG that focuses around these eight characters that looks really cool. I think it was a crowdfunding thing. I think it was a Kickstarter or Indiegogo or something that took off or whatever. But looks cool. And then they did a big montage of a whole bunch of other games that are coming. In that was Mario Tennis Aces, which I kind of thought we would see a lot of, and we didn't. We just saw it in the montage.
I know. You're excited about it.
That's another one that I played in college.
That's the last one. That and whatever the NBA game was. Those two games were the last two games that you beat the daylights out of me on and made me curse and say things that I should probably never say.
There are not many games that I'm like really good at. Mario Tennis back in the day was a game that I was like,
man,
I was proud of myself at how good I was at Mario Tennis.
I'm like, I'm going to take him. Nope.
Yeah.
Not even close.
I don't even know why, like, that game is the one that I was able to be really good at. But I played a ton of it in college. When we were in college, it was the PlayStation 2 Xbox era, and so the 64 was already old. But my brother-in-law, who wasn't my brother-in-law yet, but we lived in the same dorm building, and he had a 64, and he had Mario Kart and Mario Tennis, and we just played the crap out of those. If we were in his room, we were playing Mario Kart or Mario Tennis. If we were in my room, we were playing on the PlayStation 2, which I had, or the Xbox, which my roommate had. And so we kind of went to whoever's room, depending on what game we wanted to play. But when we were up there, we were playing Mario Tennis and Mario Kart on 64, and I got really good at both of them because we played them a lot. And I love both of those titles ever since, because there's that little bit of nostalgia there. We played some Super Smash Brothers, but Super Smash Brothers was maybe a year after that, and we didn't get as deep into
it. I tell you what I want to do. Now that we're in a good place with good bandwidth, what would be some really interesting content would be getting on Mario Tennis or Mario Kart with your brother-in-law who's currently in China and having that happen on the show, that would be some good fun.
That would be fun. He doesn't have the bandwidth. His bandwidth sucks.
I bet it does.
Which is a bummer. Ours is great. His is not so great. But that would be fun. That's super nostalgic. I'm way more excited about Mario Tennis than probably any other human being.
And hey, I'm pumped.
I'm gonna eat it up. Because
I know that's your thing. So
yeah, it's a stupid thing to be my thing, but it's my thing. I'm gonna love it. I don't even care. So.
Hey, you know what's gonna be great? Mario Tennis with alcohol.
That's right. Even better. So. After the big montage of stuff, we got into Super Smash Brothers, and like we said, they spent a lot of time and a lot of detail in Super Smash Brothers. So the big thing about it is going to be every character that's ever appeared in a Super Smash Brothers game will be in this game, plus two new characters, which is Splatoon Girl or Splat Girl or whatever, I don't remember what they called her, and Ridley from Metroid, big like pterodactyl dude.
Looks like alien, but he's not alien.
Yeah, he flies and is terrifying and is the very first boss in Super Metroid, which is super fun. That's one of my favorite things about that game, is it just throws you into this crazy scene at the beginning where you have to fight Ridley, whatever. That's a pretty cool, like, for me being such a Metroid fan, I love that as a character in Super Smash Brothers. I don't know if it's as glitzy as maybe, I don't know. The thing
is
that
it's a huge deal.
He's the 64th character. There are 63 other characters. There's several characters that I don't recognize, that I like didn't play that game. Like, I don't know what they're from, you know? That are from like these RPGs or whatever that I never have touched.
And you can't keep track because it's not all Nintendo anymore.
Right.
Sonic's in there, Snake's in there.
Yep.
They've just added
Pac-Man.
Yeah, Pac-Man's in there. They've added random people over the years, and so
Cloud Strife, which apparently was in the last one. I didn't realize that. But Cloud is a character in Super Smash Brothers. That's cool. I want to play as Cloud.
And he has a limit break meter.
It's a limit break meter.
That was awesome.
The best. Bayonetta, Duck Hunt. Duck Hunt is a character. Both the duck and the dog are part of the Duck Hunt character. I don't understand how you play as Duck Hunt, but you can, and I want to, you know? It sounds like a lot of fun. It really, really does. They literally, like, they showed every character, and then they went back and went through the changes that they've made to every character to as simple as Bayonetta has two different gun sounds depending on if you have the Bayonetta 1 or the Bayonetta 2 outfit. I'm just like, and it's like, can you hear the difference? Bang, bang, bang. Bing, bing, bing. I can. I don't know why I care, you know? Like, it was the most random thing. Or there was another character that has like two slightly different voices, and I'm like, cool? Like, okay.
What we
just
should.
That level of detail is insane.
If we would have known in advance that this was going to be the way it was going to be for this deal, we should have started drinking at 11 o'clock because it would have been really entertaining.
Would have been more entertaining.
After like 1.5 ciders, we would have been really...
Would have been better than
been
it was.
Okay, yeah.
Because we were kind of dragging by the end of this. So it was tedious. It's just a lot of information, again, that I don't care about as much as probably somebody else does, but I think most people probably don't care about on that level. A couple of hardware things about it that are interesting. First, it's going to be compatible with GameCube controllers, of all things. They have a little adapter so that you can use GameCube controllers with this little dongle, and so you can play this new Super Smash Brothers with a GameCube controller, which I think is a fairly awful controller, but it did kind of work well with how the button configuration was for Super Smash Brothers, because how you have to kind of hit buttons simultaneously,
right.
Had the big round button and the weird kind of shaped buttons on the top and side. Like, I kind of get why Super Smash Brothers would be appealing on that
and
controller.
And it's been that way for years.
Yeah, it's kind of set that way. So that was cool. And there's going to be amiibo interactivity with it. So if you have amiibos, you can connect them to the game and get special power-ups or whatever. I don't know exactly how it works. But there is a Ridley amiibo that they're putting out in a Splatoon Girl or Splat Girl or whatever it is as part of releasing Super Smash Brothers. And so... cool. Amiibos I would love to have just because I think they look cool. Like, the practicality of using them in a game has never really appealed to me, but I just love the look of the amiibos.
Well,
I think they're fun.
There was a guy on the GameSpot crew that was like, yeah, I own all of them. And I'm like, yeah, we would too if we had the money.
Right. That'd be a cool thing to collect. But yeah, not spending the money on it, honestly. I mean, just saying. And that was it. Then I went to the Treehouse Live, and they focused on Smash Brothers for about half an hour, and then they focused on Pokemon for about half an hour, and then we gave up.
Yeah.
And that's what we got from Nintendo. So specifically what we didn't get from Nintendo, and this is where I'm really bummed about this, we didn't get any Zelda content. Give me more Zelda content, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
One of my favorite games of all time. I love that. I adore Breath of the Wild. It is phenomenal, and I am begging for new content. Because I've done everything I'm going to do. I'm not going to go find all the Korok seeds. But everything else, like all the shrines, give me more shrines. Give me a new area. Give me places to explore. Like, I will play that game and pay you money to continue to play that game. They didn't give me anything.
I mean, look. We have so many games to play. We have Horizon. We have God of War. We have...
talking about Wolfenstein, we need to play.
Yeah,
you need to play All Out.
We've
just been talking about all the crap we got to play that's already out.
And here's my point: all we want is more Zelda.
We drop every bit.
We would. We have God of War sitting in front of us. Screw it, don't care. If there's more Zelda, just give us that. Yep. I'm starting to wonder if Nintendo realizes what they have, because for us to say with the libraries that we've got, and at this point Patreon people and Duff are responsible for our massively growing libraries, we drop all of it for Zelda, and I don't know that Nintendo realizes that.
Yeah,
and that also makes me wonder, are we the only two guys out there that feel that way?
Maybe. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know, but I want it. I want it.
Yeah.
Please give it to me. So we didn't get that. We didn't get any new Mario Odyssey, and I thought that would be a no-brainer because that's still relatively new. Like, maybe Zelda feels a little old. It's been out for a year and a half. Okay. But Mario Odyssey is still relatively new. You could still be, like, cashing in on that one pretty easy.
Yeah.
Nothing. No hint of it. Nothing. And then... my biggest hope was seeing more of the new Metroid Prime, and nothing. Crickets there, too. I mean, we saw lots of Metroid content in Super Smash Brothers because one of the two new characters is a Metroid character. And that's great because it kind of is still hinting towards that, you know, they're working on the Metroid thing, but no Metroid Prime, which is a bummer. So I'm disappointed in Nintendo overall just because I don't care enough about Smash Brothers to be that excited about it and don't care at all about Pokemon.
Yeah.
But I'm more disappointed if they would have given me that stuff with New Zelda and or New Mario and or Metroid Prime. I would be much happier about this whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm way more disappointed in what I know they have that they didn't show us.
And you got to wonder if they didn't show it because... they're making so much more money on this Pokemon stuff. Because one thing they said about Pokemon was that you'll be able to take your Pokemon from this new game and vice versa, take your Pokemon from Pokemon Go and put them in the game, and it's interchangeable. So you want to pick up your game and put it on your phone, you know, start moving your Pokemon across and then, you know, go back to your Switch. They're going to do that. So they're banking on Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go is making them crazy money. And I think that may be a lot of it. Is, yeah, we got this other stuff, but this one thing that we're focused on right now is killing it.
Yeah. And Super Smash Brothers is going to be a huge deal, too. And so I get it. I get why those are the two things that they wanted to bring big, because they are cash cows. They're going to make a lot of money off those two things.
Yep.
But for us, it's disappointing because that's not where we kind of land at. So
no.
So that was Nintendo.
Yeah.
Half hour show. You're welcome.
I was trying to think of some way to solve the stretch out a little bit, but there's really
screw
not.
It. Yep.
Yeah.
We'll come back and we'll talk about the PC show at Ubisoft and have some more content, because that's actually a lot better.
Yeah, and we've been trying to download games all day from the PlayStation Network.
Which is down.
It's dead.
Come on, guys.
What's going on?
It's day one of E3. And I'm getting maintenance errors on PlayStation Network.
Yeah, so...
Guys.
We're going to go play games. We're going to talk to you more about those games later. Because we still got two whole days of this.
Yep.
And if something happens and we end up with somebody that walks up that goes, hey, I've got a room with all kinds of handicap gear, we might make it three. So, yeah, we're having a good time. We hope you're having a good time as well. As we've said on these previous shows, you know how to interact with us. You know where all of the stuff is at. I'm not going to repeat that again because I do it every show. Please, please, please hang out with us. Please get involved. We are having so much fun. This right here, this thing that we're doing right now, this is what it would feel like if we did this full time.
Right.
I want this. Let me get this. That's all I'm saying. That's all we've got right now. We will be back with the PC gaming show and whatever else we can come up with.
Yubi!
Yubi was good. Yubi.
Yeah.
Yubi was really good. We'll be back with that shortly. For right now, you are listening to Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2018. It's the Electronics Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, and it's only on GamingUncensored.com, and we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.